Okay, once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. This is a listener-sponsored community radio station providing you a Pacifica state of mind since 1960. The previous program was The Gary Null Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Everybody, Ben Starr and Kevin O'Donohue with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Kevin, great to see you again.
Great to see you, Ben.
And in the studio today, we welcome back our two guests from yesterday to continue our conversation, not to finish it, because it is a long one, and I don't think it's a conversation we'll finish, but we did want to continue our conversation. And those of you who called in and tuned in yesterday, we do want to thank you. We have Linda and Laura back with us today. Thank
Hello.
You both for being back, by
You're
the way.
You're most welcome.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Back.
Pleasure.
And so yesterday we began our conversation regarding the new paradigm that's out there, the new feeling that's pervaded the airwaves, that's we see in the media, that we see in society, that we see among our friends and family and in our workplaces. And this is the Me Too movement and the ripple effect that it's had on really how we view gender, how we view what's acceptable and not acceptable ways of behaving, and the effects that that's having on us as a people, as a society, as individuals. And so thanks again for both of you to return and continue this conversation with us.
It's great to be here.
Yes.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to have you both back. Yeah, I mean, is there a new paradigm going on? Are women changing? Are men changing? Is society changing? Is it all for the better? I love Teddy's call, and we're going to encourage calls later in the show, and Walter called, and Betty called, and Maria called yesterday. But Teddy really said something, that the moment is now for us to use this moment together for all of us to be brought up. Can you talk a little bit about the paradigm shift and what's happening? And it's really happened in the last 6 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk about it, Kevin. As we've all been really working so diligently on this, I think that it doesn't take very much for any one of us to be cognizant by looking at the media, by looking at the Global Award on Sunday, by seeing the Women's March last year.
And the Women's March, by the way, is coming up in New York City.
January 20th.
And Washington, D.C., January 21st.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It continues. Anyway,
so we see this very, very conscious need for what we're calling a new dawn, a shift, a paradigm shift. I think that it's a new awareness of what has been happening in this sort of patriarchal society to kind of keep people in this sort of ranking place. And I think we've all gotten a little tired of it. And I think it's spewing out a lot of ills. And I think we've all become conscious, both males and females, that things have to change. And I think that people are becoming more courageous. They're speaking out. They're clearer, and they're more honest. And I think that while we're talking today about Mother Earth, I think we're seeing it as an essence, a belief, a consciousness raising that makes us more aware that yin in each and every one of us, be it male or female, needs to be more realized, mm-hmm. more self-actualized. I think that we're seeing that what it does is it produces a sense of reality and validation among all of us and makes our relationships much more honest and much more fulfilling.
Right.
And I think it's coming out of a place where both men and women are saying, you know, things are not working so well, you know, mm. whether it be in relations, whether it be in corporate America, whether it be on the street. There's a dissatisfaction, and I think it's about that time. And as Laura said this morning, we're on the train, and the train's moving, and we're not going to go back. So while I think a lot has gone on and continues to go on, I do think that this is a very special time for women and men.
Yeah.
And I think I'm so proud and happy to be here and be part of it. So But yes, Laura, do you have anything to say about that?
I think that when you live an authentic life and you are presenting yourself, your truth, that you can unconsciously give others permission. And I think that's what the caller was talking
right.
about, that yeah. now that women are coming out and saying what happened and the shame is brought out into the open, it unconsciously gives others permission to be.
Yeah. You know, and I'm glad you said that about, you know, the whole idea of being, you know, rather than belonging, but to be and to be free. And I think when I'm listening to you saying that, you know, with a Me Too, I think we've become conscious of how shame and ridicule kind of keeps us all of us. In a very diminished place. And so when we were talking about Mother, today we were talking about, as you and I did, Laura, this morning, Mother Earth being that sense of the hashtag Me Too, that we're all in this together. And if we can be conscious and cognizant of that mother deep inside each and every one of us, as we called it, that absolute love, that mm. absolute flow inside of us that is not so much about a forgiving, but it's a wealth, it's a passion, it's mm. a longing, it's a need for joy, for right. satisfaction, for fulfillment. And I think that it's been long in coming. I think while we're looking at gaining rights and being politicized, I think now it's on a very basic, passionate, primal level that we're all, as human beings, say, there's a Mother Earth inside each and every one of us mm. that could help really connect us in a way that will be a new paradigm, will be one without rank, without shame, without guilt, but that it's a connection of reality, that we're all here together.
I love it. I love it. This is a great idea. So even men can tap into Mother
Absolutely.
Earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, the busiest phone day of the year.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Absolutely, yes.
So everybody
yes.
has a mother. And we can all connect to this mother part of ourselves or Mother Earth. What do you mean by Mother Earth?
Kevin, what I see as Mother Earth is that very basic part and connection that each and every one of us have with basic Mother Nature. If we all look outside, we see all throughout the generations, no matter where we are, we all long to go and visit the green, we go to the sun, we go to the beach. We know that all of us, you know, our blood pressure decreases when we seek out the whole essence of the nature, and we long for that. My daughter loves to take her children hiking. I love to go hiking because it gives us a sense of where everything else becomes secondary, and we are one. We are connected in a very, very primal place that really gives us a sense of, aha, we're okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're not talking about, like, my experience of my mother, because some people have had bad mothers.
Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about something accessible
yes.
to every human being on the planet.
Absolutely.
But I
absolutely.
Also think that there needs to be work, that yes. you need to do the work to hold the hand of that inner child that did have maybe not the perfect mother. And as mothers, you know, you're off the hook. I mean, nobody's perfect.
No.
We
no.
all make mistakes. And it's a sort of a black hole as to what the child interprets. You know,
well, you're two mothers. Like, do your children, or have you gone through pointing the finger at you and blaming you? I think mothers, like, can be targets at some point for each child in their development. At some point, the child's going to get angry at the mother for something, even if it's invented, whether it's in adolescence or as an adult, you didn't do this for me. I mean, have you run into that as mothers?
Absolutely, yes. I know many years ago I had a neighbor who I loved dearly, and when I was having my children, she says, well, no matter what you do, they're going to grow up and blame you for everything that they're doing wrong. So, you know, and that was a good laugh. But I do think that, yes, oftentimes there is, on a very physical level, we know that we're not, you know, without fault. We're not perfect. And I think that's also part of Mother Earth and Mother Love, that when we give to our children, we give to each other, we're not giving out of any points that we're looking for or points that we need to earn. That it's an essence of caring for one another that goes beyond that. So if I know in my heart that I've done all that I can and continue to do the best I can, whatever it is they're going to blame me for is kind of like, okay, that's a wash, right. You know?
Yeah.
And let me just point out one, and I'm so glad, Laura, you said that, because we all need to do the work. I have been working with women and proudly and hope to do a lot more for many years. And I had recently a situation, and this is the work that Laura's ascribing to, is to do that inner work where I have a young woman. She's struggling. She's single. She's trying to make her way out in profession and relationship. And so when we talk, when Laura's addressing inner work, you know, we have her get a pillow and hold her inner child and go inside and say, where is that inner child? What is that child feeling? So that the child then could say, well, you know, I'm scared. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so when we go into, we just do some understanding of where were you when you were 5, 7, 10, we realize, oh, wait, mom wasn't there. Yeah, there was a lot of friction. And, you know, actually, yeah, you know, there was a, you know, my older brother needed a lot of attention. And so she basically now is looking for that very attention that she was longing for as that 5-year-old child. And so when we do this inner work and we become understanding of it and the importance of it, we can bring that up and we can address that and we can give that to one another.
And hold the space.
And hold that space.
So that those emotions can have those 22 minutes of, yeah, I was abandoned and I felt scared and it was cold and the body loves images. Mm-hmm. So what did it look like? What did the scaredness look like? And how did it smell? And how did it feel? And can you imagine a shape and a color and give it a sound? And it's that primal sound when that sound comes out.
This is fascinating because I never even made this link before, but I do think the inner child could be the inner mother.
Absolutely.
Almost. It sounds like the wounded child. Are you saying, Laura, that the child is the wounded one when you go into this work and you experience where was mommy or daddy at this point in my life and go into the woundedness of that? Do you somehow come out nurturing yourself, mothering yourself, accepting that child?
You take that inner child, you hold his or her hand, and you say, I know it was really hard for you, and I've got this, I've got you. Mm-hmm. And I can nurture you, and I can give you what you want. And then on a daily basis, I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, where is my inner child now? What do you need today? What can I give you today? How can I make your day better? Oh, I should say, I need to play. I need to do some art. I need to dance. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're gonna take 10 minutes at the end of the day. I've got a busy schedule. I've got lots of meetings. I've got to see lots of people. I've got kids to take care of. I've got meals to do. I've got, you know, house laundry, all this stuff. But, you know, I'm going to take about 10 minutes and we're going to sit in silence. Or I'm going to take 10 minutes and we're going to go dance. Or we're going to go sing a song in the shower, you know.
Inner child wants to be a child.
Yeah, and that's our true self.
But if you grew up in a family like where you were rigid and you were told you always have to do this, it must be so easy to bypass that child if you're not paying attention to it.
Well, a good therapist at the Positive Mind Center
can walk with you.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know if it can be done by yourself.
Really?
But
okay.
I think that a therapist can teach you, give you the tools. It's a tool.
Yes, we see.
And if I'm going to put two pieces of wood together, I could use glue, I could staple it, I could. But if I have a hammer and a nail and I nail it, I can build a house. So if I've got this tool, I can really work with it. And this tool is something that I can pass on to other people. I can be there for, and I've only can be there for others if I've been there for myself, if I've gone through the pain myself.
I love how this is unfolding because we weren't planning on talking about inner child, but now that we're here, it's a good thing. Can you teach somebody to get access to their inner child? Because I think in the sense of Mother Goddess and Mother Earth that we're talking about, which we're going to be returning to, without access to the inner child, the mother connection to the Mother Earth could be very intangible.
Yeah.
Very
ephemeral.
Absolutely.
So talk about getting in touch then with the inner child. I love that. Child, what do children like? Children like to play.
Absolutely.
Unstructured play.
Absolutely. You know,
they like to sing. They like to dance. Mm-hmm. They like to be outdoors.
That's where
I think without their Game Boys.
Well, yes, they do like to be outdoors without their Game Boys. But you know, when you're living in a jungle, what do they call it? A jungle,
concrete jungle.
What dreams are made of.
Right.
We have to create those dreams, and we have to be able to envision them and feel them and taste them. And as you say, use all of our senses to smell, to taste. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at whether you're going into Harris's transactional analysis, where he's saying all of those longings are oftentimes unconscious, so that we're not even aware of them.
Yeah.
However, when we do get to that child, that Mother Earth place of essence, we don't judge whether Mother did right or wrong or go to bed. It's just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just mentioned the word trust, Kevin.
Yeah.
I think that's the part. When you don't trust yourself, you don't trust your feelings, when you can uncover the unconscious layers that have happened in your life and have the experience, whether it be on a one-to-one professional basis, which is the work that I've done and I'm proud to have been doing for a while, it's very difficult to access that, because we know that. But once we do get together as women and gather, that place is accessed.
Here's the question.
That place is accessed. And that came about for me almost incidentally. I didn't realize it, but I realized that it happened as I saw it happening.
Say that again. What does that mean?
When I experienced a group of people together, of women together, I realized something magical was happening. I called it magic because I didn't know what to put my finger on. But I think that you just said, you know, we want to laugh, we want to play, we want to game boys, whatever. But I think it's through play, through laughing, crying, yelling, expressing, smelling, tasting our senses, that Mother Earth, that same sensation of connection as one, joyful and serenity and peace and love is right there. It's right there.
Exactly.
It's right there.
Because we're dropping down from our head into our heart.
Right. We're going from the outside to the inside.
Well, before Me Too and what's been changing, I'm wondering, have women given up on their inner child?
Oh, no.
Good.
Oh, no.
Even last year, they hadn't given up on it.
Because
I know a lot of men have.
I think,
and they don't like the even term inner child, inner exuberance.
Inner power. Inner power. We don't want to use that word power because it's so political.
Okay.
We have all of these words,
in trouble here.
We have to be careful, but I think inner strength.
Okay.
And in a direction and in a wisdom, I don't think women have given up, but I think that many times they felt that they had to put it aside for fear of it might be misinterpreted. It might belabor my life. It might not. I have to join the outer society in order to survive.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think females have learned for the most part, I might be smart little girl inside, but I got to survive in this tough world because it's a little bit tough out here. And so I think many times we've lost that. And I think when we regain it, like we are now, and through work, as Laura's so beautifully, eloquently describing, we are creating that space of safety.
Yeah.
And we're restoring that trust in our inner sense and our wisdom. And that's where we can go back to define that, yes, I do believe this is a new dawn.
Yesterday,
all of us.
Laura had mentioned a way in which boys and girls are treated differently in the classroom and how that could have a lasting impact. We also, I don't know if we actually mentioned this on the air, but I know that when we were discussing this before we came on the air, we talked about the differences in which young boys and young girls interact with each other socially and how that can have a lasting effect. Are there any other differences that come to mind for you in terms of how men and women come of age, how men and women are raised, are treated as children, that create discrepancies that get exacerbated later in life? Does that make sense?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other that you want to share, that maybe things that need to get worked on?
Ben, those are heavy questions.
Yeah,
that's that could be. That's another whole show. But I think it's a wonderfully, wonderfully put question. I think that as we heard from our wonderful callers yesterday, we mentioned that how a child is raised, how a child is treated, both male and female. I think what Laura described yesterday is beautifully eloquent and very appropriate. I think, as that gentleman mentioned yesterday, being a male teacher with preschool children, mm-hmm. we have all of these effects going on without even really being conscious sure. of it. But it's creating problems. It's creating challenges for all of us. So we try to rethink it and try to see in this new paradigm, how can we bring everything to fruition to see? I have seen consistently and just had a recent experience with another client of mine who said, you know, he went through medical school and he had females who were valedictorian, but yet he felt that he had more confidence than he feels another woman can. He said, why? Why is that? Why is it that I feel that, you know, I have more confidence? Why is it that I feel that women have to kind of work a little harder? And I said, well, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty on target. I think that there have been so many ways where people will say women have to bank on their looks maybe yeah. a little bit more than men. And so when we're raised as young children, I think there's a more emphasis for the girl to be, you know, be trim, be smart, be not only
be
everything, because you yeah. have to be pretty. You have to be
gotta
pretty.
Get sure. it
and
all.
You have to know
men
where.
Men too. Have
and
to get it all.
Yeah, the men have to do it all too, you know.
Yeah, I guess my thought is what are. How can we become aware of the double standards that we can all work together
beautiful
to at least flatten it out?
By becoming more authentic.
Absolutely.
The film industry has definitely had a very big influence on how people gender, how gender is conveyed, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also the damage, you know, in the areas where damage is done. Whether to males or females, boys or girls, that we level the field once we acknowledge what the damage is.
I like that.
And then we
level
say, okay,
field.
now we will do a repair.
Yeah.
And so what Hollywood has done is we notice the damage
right.
and big damage, and now we're in the repair stage.
Right.
Let's level the field again. Well, for the first time.
For the first time. I think.
My point was that I think girls might get a pass when they're young. They're not, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, but do adults, and so we're talking about the unconscious, do adults back off girls? Like boys are if they do something wrong, they're people are on them. Adults are on them. If girls do something wrong, are adults on them as much? And if not, do girls take a back, you know, a sort of passive way in the early years, the first 10 years or so? It's just occurring to me, like, why is it that girls grow up and have a harder time in medical school or when they're facing big challenges, that there's a big adjustment, a transition of adjustment that men don't go through necessarily because men are trained all along to face the challenge. And girls, you know, are allowed to be girls.
I think that there's – I think while we're discussing as we did yesterday – the sisterhood or the gathering or the concept of woman gathering, and you know, you see them in junior high school where they have to have best girlfriends and they have to hang out. I think that that plays out as women when we go into the Maslow and we self-actualize.
Yeah.
I think women tend to kind of be loyalist to their family, and I think that by that very nature, as it was described by somebody else that I just recently spoke to, that they might be less likely to go ahead and leave the flock and pursue their own personal dreams. And I think that when it comes to the arts and the sciences, that there's a distinction. And so, and the patriarchal society, as well as, you know, all of us at large, have kind of dominated it in that there are certain things that boys should be doing and there are certain things girls should be doing.
Yeah.
And I think that until and unless that becomes more fluid, which it is, we know that.
It's become more
gender fluid,
right.
Absolutely. Yes. And so therefore it gives us all that sense of a self-actualization that's more free and more abundant.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned into WBAI 99.5 FM. This is The Positive Mind. And I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest today, Linda Vanella and Laura
Mancini.
Sorry, just slipped my mind.
Like Henry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now I'm not going to forget.
Now you're not going to forget.
Thank you guys both for being back here. I appreciate
pleasure.
It.
It's great to be back.
Wow. So let's get back to mothers and Mother Earth and the inner child, because I think there is a connection somehow. And I think the one rule of parenting is do not kill your kid's inner child. even as a 25-year-old. Laura, you have kids in their
20s.
Yeah. Do they have access to their inner child?
Absolutely, yes.
In what way? How do you see it?
They will take time out and play. They will take time out and dance. I don't think that we can ever kill that inner child, that there is something deep inside us that wants to survive, wants to live. And I think accessing it as an adult and saying, well, okay, you're the child and you went through this horrible experience or this great experience. I'm here to be there for you. And no one else can do that for you. But, you know, also you need a guide. I mean, if I go to a new city, I can see a ton of stuff. But if I get on one of those guide buses, I can see like a major stuff.
Beautiful.
In 2 hours.
Right.
If I get a guide to help me dig down deep into my inner soul with my inner child and they lead me and walk with me, I'm going to do this in a different way. I'm going to be supported in a way that's going to enable me to mother myself in an unconditional way. Mm. I know that it was hard. I know that it was times where my needs were not met. But now I get the chance to fulfill those needs. Mm. And I can ask for help. I can ask another woman, can you make me a cup of tea? Or men, they go to the barber and they get their hair done. You know, they get their hair cut. Women get their hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time to nurture yourself, to be with other men and to really nurture yourself.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think the barber is the one thing that men do have when it comes to sort of the physical grooming and pampering.
Mm-hmm. It's socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think it's getting better. You see more men in the nail salons
That's
as well.
That's true.
So.
That you do.
No.
Right?
In
yes.
The nail salons?
Yes.
No,
getting
you do.
Manicure,
next
pedicure.
Stick your head,
absolutely.
Stick your head in a nail salon.
Doing what?
Very frequently.
Getting
manicure,
toes done?
Pedicure. Absolutely.
Oh,
and there are many chefs
yes.
that are cooking and
yes.
teaching boys to cook. I was on
that's
a bus.
Sure. Yeah.
I was on a bus, and these two young men were talking about after school, and he goes, "What are you doing after school?" "Well, we learn how to cook." "Oh, that's really lit." I'm like thinking, this is great. They're going to cook. And my kids both love to cook.
Wow. Let me just say one more thing about that inner child. I don't think we ever lose it, Kevin. But I think that, as Laura so eloquently is describing, I think that inner child could get a little lost. And I think the inner child gets very much attached to addictions and goes to hiding, because the curiosity of the child is a longing, is a passion. And sometimes I think that inner child chooses to go to sleep. And I see that with work that I do.
Yeah.
And when the inner child is hurting, they get stuck at certain places in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come out of hiding until they're kind of drawn out and encouraged and invited out. So sometimes they're not realizing that that inner child is still alive and very much kicking, just hiding a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to pull it out. So that's also very fulfilling work.
And so part of what you do is, do you teach women to be mothers to themselves?
Yes.
And
to
talk
each
about
other.
Women and their mothers.
And to each other. Biological mothers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's many different kinds of relationships, and I deal with it, and I have been dealing with it for many, many years. But there's many different, just as any relationship can be between father-child and, you know, mother-child, it has a range of different ways of operating. And I think that, ideally we would look at the mother-daughter, mother-son child as one of great nurturing, absolute love, great care. It doesn't always work that way because we're human beings. So it'll show its face in many different ways. If you have a person who tends to want to have a child, to want a mother, they'll come with full throttle to want to take over the responsibilities. But it's an awesome job, and I think it's a job of great complexity. So whether we're parenting single, or we're parenting with a partner, there's many different ways to describe a mother-child relationship. And I don't know that this is really,
time to
address it. But, I mean, certainly we could at another
time.
Well,
I was going to say,
but it's significant. Is it significant?
Since we're a psychology
yes,
show.
Yes, absolutely.
And Freud always said, get back to your mother.
Well,
and Maura didn't think about
but
your
also
mother. But we're talking about a bigger concept.
Yeah, Okay. Therefore, the mother-child Sigmund Freud says up to 1 to 5, and I dare say I think that we have a lot more potential to do more with it after 5. So I think while he gave us a great foundation, I think there's a lot more that we could be doing. So
I totally agree to it. I totally agree. You're listening to The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 in New York City, talking about women. And Freud also said, what do women want, which we have to get to, too.
We'll get to that at another time.
100 years later, his words are still echoing in our studio.
Absolutely, so, and quite significant.
We are going to take a short musical break, and we will be back, and we'll see if we can take some calls later in the show.
Great.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. Let it be.
Let it be. Let it be.
the Beatles, Let It Be, here on The Positive Mind. You're listening to The Positive Mind. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr, and I'm here with Kevin O'Donohue, Linda Vanella, and Laura Mancini.
There you go.
All right.
We have a caller. We haven't even put out the question to the caller, but let's take the call. Somebody wants to make a comment.
Maybe the caller has a question to us.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Oh, it's me. It's Janine, Kevin. Hi.
Well, hello, Janine. Thank you for calling The Positive Mind. How are you? You're on the air. What do you want to say? You are a mother.
I'm a mother of two very strong women that I'm very proud I raised and did best I could. But I also want to say that my mom, she did the best she could. You know, each generation does. And I remember when my mom was on her deathbed, I had said to her, she said, "You were a better mother than me." And I said, "No, Mom, you inspired me to be a better mother." Because I was born in 61, and I was raised, you know, right out of the womb, you got to get married. You know what I'm saying? I didn't raise my girls like that. I said, first of all, you don't even need a man.
Okay.
That's my feelings on my second marriage with my but you do need yourself. And my thing with my girls was education and be able to take care of you. Then everything else is gravy. That's what I always told my girls.
We have women nodding their heads here, Janine. Let's hear from them first. Go ahead, Laura.
Go ahead, Laura, you take this.
I think it's definitely that's what the feminist movement was all about, you know, just go ahead and get out there and do what you have to do. But I think that there is also a time to just be, to receive, and to be that nurturing person to yourself, self-care, and
Well, I kind of lost that in my raising of my girls.
I know, we all do.
And yeah, Kevin met me.
Yes, and I'm just going to jump the gun. What are you doing now, Janine, to do exactly that, to get back in touch with you?
Yeah, Kent was wonderful. I'm not doing that. You'll know what that means,
yes,
Kevin.
You're on the air, so go ahead.
I am doing Janine. My little girl moved out, and I blessed her with that. I'm so proud of her.
Great.
My big girl is going to move downstairs.
Yes.
I'm taking care of Janine. I'm still in my situation. You know what that
is. Right, right. But what about your inner child? You know,
my inner child?
Yeah,
that's my dancing and my singing and, you know, being playful and loving my cat and just being me and enjoying sunshine and running on the beach. And that's who I am. And when I lose that person, Kevin met the other Janine. And that's not a good person.
That's not your real self.
Anxiety.
It's not who you really are.
No. But I did go with the help of WBAI. I went to a Dr. Kumar. And he explained to me through the planets of my birth sign and things that I need to do to protect me. And I'm doing that. And it's, so far, it's wonderful. Little simple little things.
So Janine, one last thing, because I want the ladies to help you with this. The idea of receiving, because I hear you, and this is a
got
thing.
Got a release.
Well, good. I'm glad you heard Brenda Shoshana. But
and
we're talking about receiving from others. How are you doing some of that?
Well, you know what? With my little girl moved out, we kind of did a little pedicure, manicure thing.
There you go.
You know, she came for Christmas morning breakfast.
Right.
You know, so I'm receiving now even more than I had when they were right next to me in my next to my bedroom. So, you know, and my big girl too. We're having dinners. I came home the other night. She had her friend over. She made the salad. She initiated a dinner.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of I'm getting back what I gave. It's coming slowly.
I love it.
But I'm getting it back. And I thought, oh, wow, where did I go wrong?
No.
I got the most insensitive girls, and I've done nothing but take care of them.
No.
But you know what? It's coming to a close, and it's really nice. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Let me say, Janine, Janine, this is Linda.
And I come from three hardcore brother families.
Beautiful.
No father. Beautiful. No father. So
hang on. Let's hear Linda and then.
Janine, this is Linda. I want to really thank you. It's a joy to hear your voice. I can feel the passion. I can feel the love right there, and it's beautiful. But I think it's not to be, it's not to be questioned as to how that came. It's coming full circle. When you say to me, when you say on air that on your mother's deathbed, you assured your mother that the way that you are is the way that she inspired you. And what you learned from her, there's your exchange. There's your receiving.
Yes.
So, you know, when you receive, you come full circle. You receive and you give out. There's the flow. There's the flow of that inner space.
I give every day. Mm-hmm. I share all good information. I share information I learned from all wonderful. I just share.
And you're dancing and singing. Like you're dancing and singing. So you're keeping yourself fluid. So you're keeping yourself alive. Thank you for doing that.
Janine, thank you for the call. I'm just going to say you're on your journey.
Yeah.
And, yes, I am.
And, and I'm just going to throw out this last piece. Your journey the rest of the way
is to let
people share with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
invite
I
them.
Do.
Okay. Then you're on your way.
Let me add one more that I have written on my mug. Cherish the journey. That's what I ask for you to do, Janine.
Yes.
It's a journey. It's not about time. It's not about getting it right at any particular time. But when you listen to that song, Let It Be, you're letting it be. And I congratulate for that, because that's not always easy to do. So thank you for that.
Okay,
thank you,
Janine,
for that.
Thank
Keep
you.
It moving.
Thanks for the call. We'll hear you again. And so it's not about doing, right? It's about being.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I do think, okay, 212. Or let's take calls, right? 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. You've talked about yesterday the importance of women to gather.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 days now talking about women and now mother and mothering and finding the mother in yourself and the inner child. You know, gathering, I think women are doing a lot, and they – you know, do women want it all? What if they stop doing and just receiving? That's the point with Janine when we did meet. Stop doing. You have to stop doing. That was the old tape, the old script.
Yeah.
It's time to be and receive.
That's the new dawn.
Is it?
That's the new dawn. That's why we just played Let It Be. That's the difference between doing and being. You know, again, that's where the pressure, when you go to a party, you know, men will be often asked, what do you do for a living? And now, of course, it's, what do you do for a living?
Right.
What do you do? What do you do? People don't say, what are you?
What
are
you?
How are you?
How are you?
You know, who are you?
Are we human beings or are we human doings?
Exactly. Good
point. Yeah, what do you be for a living?
Right.
I'm just a human.
I am.
I'd be compassionate for a living. Kind for a living. I'd be good for a living.
Beautiful.
Or I just am.
I just
am. I just am for a living.
I am love.
We're in the Love Fest zone here at the Positive Mind. But we want to hear from you, 212-757-5555. If we're missing something, if we haven't hit on something about women and being a woman that you think we should hear, you can give us a call. We want to hear that. We're covering a lot of ground, and sometimes not the clearest of concepts. This concept of Mother Earth and the concept of gathering. Say more about gathering.
Gathering is
and the power of it
is very primal to the female. It's how we exist. It's how we are. We gather food. We gather feelings, we gather love, we gather people. That's our primal existence, where the male is more prone to be the protector, the hunter. The female was always the gatherer of the food. She was always the cook of the food. She was always the gatherer of people. So it's very much part of our primal existence. And of course, put it together, it's a beautiful mix, a beautiful one complements the other.
Yeah.
In today's society, we're not having to hunt. We're not having to gather weed on the field. But we do, it still leaves us with that very primal need. So it sort of goes into the society in which we're living in, and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we now have the sense that when women gather, that essence, that feeling, that very primal sense of connection becomes very exuberant. And I say, when she's saying she's dancing and singing, that's all part of the gathering of the female. That's the part of the essence of that inner female that I believe comes to fruition when we gather, whether it be in a group, whether it be getting our nails together or gossiping on the corner, whatever the case may be. But I think today, when we're talking about it today, Kevin, we're seeing the significance of it. We're seeing how powerful that could really be. And I think that, you know, we see groupthink, or we see politics, or we see when the Women's March, when we gather together at the Women's March, there was great power there.
Yeah.
So let us continue gathering males and females.
Let us take our next question.
Let us take a quick call. We have Mary Jo on the line. Hi, Mary Jo. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I really appreciate hearing the show today, because this is what I need to focus on, reconnecting with my friends. I'm a single mom who's got two grown boys in college and an empty nester. And the first time today, I contacted my best friend, who I haven't talked to in a while, and set up, you know, a time to meet and go out to dinner, because I've just been focused on doing for my boys.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm totally with you.
So, Laura, tell her about your journey pulling back from that and your boys becoming your independent, because your boys are in their 20s.
Yeah, they're gone. I'm an empty nester as well.
You're an empty nester. Mm-hmm. And but she's not finished, it sounds like. They're in college. They're going to come back, aren't they?
Maybe.
Yeah. They're home right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they're on break.
Okay. So I don't know, Laura.
It's a great chance to give birth to yourself, to give yourself the time, the nurturing, all the things that you gave your children. It's time now for you. You know, in menopause, they talk about it as a, you know, terrible thing, and it goes through this, and you have that. And in Chinese medicine, it's a rebirth. It's a new you. It's a time where you can focus on yourself, give, receive, and just be, you know. And it's great to connect with your friends and spend time alone, spend time meditating, spend time doing whatever brings you joy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm really trying to do.
Yeah,
because I've noticed that, you know what, I've my boys are my world, and they're very strong, independent young men, thank God.
You did a great job.
You know, God bless me.
That's all I can say.
And I also had a very, very positive role model as a mother, my mother. And she takes most of the credit, of course.
But, well, no, you know, it's you. You did it. You did the work.
No, but the old Italian mother, no, you know, she raised them. But anyway, I do need to slow down and to kind of connect with myself inward to find out what I want to do with the second half of my life, I call it, because I'm, you know, I'd like to retire in the next 5 years, and I don't know what I want to do. I'm too young.
Laura,
it's probably a good time.
So you're getting together with a girlfriend. It's probably a good time to get in touch with a lot of girlfriends. What do you think, Linda?
Well, I congratulate you, because what you're doing is you're connecting to yourself, and that is really powerful stuff. I think you are doing exactly what you feel inside is time for you to do. You know, I call this the very powerful stage of launching. As Laura's describing, she's at that place where the boys are in their 20s. My men are in their 40s and 30s, and they're all out and about, and my daughter's 36. So I'm, you know, at that place where I see them, I appreciate them, I love them for what they're doing. But it's also a time for me as a woman. We're calling it launching because it is a new birth for me, as Laura just described. It's a new birth for us all as women to get to know a little bit more about who am I really, now that I've done so many other things that I was called to do and what I felt I ought to do or should do. It's time for me, and sometimes we get even a little lost there, like, who am I now after all this time? But it certainly is a time exactly when you say, I'm reaching out to my girlfriends. It's wonderful. You're doing exactly what you ought to be doing. Keep going. Give yourself time. Go back inside yourself and let that little girl be alive and give honor to your mother as you are, but also give honor to yourself. And Permission. You know, we talk about Mother Earth, and that's what you're doing. You're giving yourself honor to that Mother Earth in all of us, that connectedness, that feeling of launching. You've sent your children off. And now you can settle into who you are and self-actualize and dance and sing and take up new hobbies or not, be quiet or not, you know. So congratulations for that, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Mary Jo, thank you for calling. Call us again. We look forward to hearing from you.
Great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much. You know, what about this? I think it is a good time for women like that. You know, when I think of my mom, she hung on to being a mom for too long. You know, I mean, they go, but they come back, and they, you know, you love them coming back. But without focusing on yourself, taking the time to focus on yourself, you need to let go, right?
But they don't know what else to do.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we all get stuck in places, you know. We were going to move on to other things, but now that we're here, mothers sometimes, you know, when that role is so defined for her, and your mom had a lot of children, she spent a lot of time weaning children.
Mm.
So I know myself, I have four beautiful children, but it took a while after they left the house to say, what do you mean? What kind of a mother can I be to them? So there's really almost a grieving period.
Yes.
You know, you have to kind of get beyond that, and you have to realize that that's a significant part of life, so that you can recharge yourself and then figure out, what do I do with my life now? Because that gave me a significance, and oftentimes the only real significance that I've had. So that other part, that feeling of productivity in society, may be the secondary, but maybe this is the time.
Linda, you have to start a group.
I am.
I'm going to tell people how they can reach us.
I know.
Because, I mean, women in transition who need
to
let go of one role.
Absolutely.
I'll tell them at the end of the hour how they can reach you.
For sure.
We have another call.
Yeah, Carmelo's on the line. Hi, thanks for calling in.
Hi, my name's Carmelo. I'm from Long Island. I'm 68 years old.
Hey, Carmelo.
And hi. And yesterday at the end of the show, you commented on women gathering.
Yes.
And, so a bulb kind of went off on top of my head, because since I was a boy, I prefer being around women, you know, like say there's a gathering.
Yeah.
And the women will be in the kitchen and the guys will be in the living room watching a game or something. I'd rather be in the kitchen listening to that conversation.
Good for you. Good for you. Beautiful.
Participating, you know, and so to this day, I'm still like that. And, you know, when you spoke about the women gathering and the power, you know, it kind of validated why I do what I do.
Yeah.
Beautifully. Well said. I think that.
So men need to gather too, Carmelo,
yeah,
huh? But I mean,
sure.
you found a home in the women's gathering, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds.
I prefer that. I prefer the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know, more soulful.
Yeah. More soulful.
Carmelo, thanks for giving us a call. That's a great idea.
Are
men invited? Are men invited to women gathering? Come in.
Well, yes. I mean, we always have to gather. But I think what Carmelo is speaking of, and I think what you're asking about, Kevin, is not so much that we need to physically gather male and female together, but that essence, as you said, Carmelo, it's the soulfulness. You experienced conversation. You experienced enthusiasm. You experienced a passion that you're calling soulfulness. And of course, that exists wherever we gather, males or females. It doesn't matter. But you bring it to it. You are one that will bring it wherever you go, Carmelo. So it doesn't have to be limited to having to join the woman in the kitchen or join the men at the card table. Because I know when I was a child, I used to love watching the boys playing basketball. I mean, I enjoyed that more and joining them than watching the girls, you know, play with Barbie dolls. It doesn't doesn't mean one or the other. It means that in both of those experiences, it honed in on something that's inside of me that gave me some pleasure. And thank goodness we are now in a place with this new paradigm that we could make those choices. We can have that soulful conversation, whether it be on the basketball court or in the kitchen.
So I think it's a place, a meeting without competition.
Absolutely.
Where there's no competition.
No ranking.
Where you get
no
to
ranking.
Be. And I think men Linking. Often get caught up in the Absolutely. In the competition part.
Yeah.
And they're tired of it.
Absolutely.
I know.
Good for them.
No, they're tired of it. They yeah. want to gather without the competition
Absolutely.
Part. I think Carmelo found his answer.
Absolutely.
But
bless you for that, Carmelo.
Absolutely. Yeah. Carmelo, thank you so much for the call. And thank you to all of our callers today. And thank you, Linda, thank you, Laura,
You're
for being
welcome.
Here.
Pleasure.
And I, you know, I have to say, these 2 days have been great because it does bring together the idea of gathering and getting
Absolutely.
Together.
Yes.
And there's more power when people get together
Absolutely.
In a place of not judging.
Right.
You know, we talked last week about being out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing. Mm. There's a field.
Oh, the Rumi quote.
There's That's a field.
Right.
I'll meet
That's
you
right.
there.
I'll meet you yeah. there.
And, you know, I think a gathering
think
where there
meeting.
Is no judgment and that what you're talking about, the power of gathering
yeah.
is really, really needed and valuable. And maybe that's what all this transition is about.
Absolutely.
That, and as Teddy said yesterday, we all rise together.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to reach you, Linda, I'm going to say they can try us here. 212-757-4488. Laura Mancini, thank you for being
thank
part
you.
Of this.
Thank you.
Laura,
mm-hmm.
multi-talented doula
Absolutely.
And artist and mom.
Absolutely.
And healer,
thank you,
and thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank
everybody,
you.
Thanks for
Welcome.
Being here. You've
My
been
pleasure.
Listening to The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 in New York City. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day now.
Thank you.
See the girl with the diamonds in her shoes. She walks around like she's got nothing to lose. You see the go-getter. She's everybody's type. She's a queen of the city, but she don't believe the hype. She's got her own elevation, holy motivation. So I wrote some letters on big bold. I got faith in you, baby. I got faith. Morning, noon, night, and day.